Good. Well, good morning, and it's great to be with you and to share God's word. If you have a Bible, will you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16, or switch on your phone, or however you want to read the Bible together. And the writer says, "To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with him. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The church here is doing our series on Proverbs, and today we come to these words, and the title for us is, "How does God guide us? How does God lead us, and how does God move us?" And whenever we come to the Bible, whenever we come to any book or any topic, we come with presuppositions, we come with things that we believe. And I want to lay out, as we start this, three things that I'm going to take for granted. The first, I'm going to presume that we believe that God exists, that there is a God who created the world that we live in. Secondly, I want to presume that we believe that God wants to guide us, that God didn't just create the world and he's up there and he's just happy for everything to get on with it and he's got no interaction with his creation. And then thirdly, that God wants to guide you specifically. So it's easy to believe that God has a plan for countries and nations. God has a plan for the holy ones and the ministers of the church. But actually, do you believe that God has a specific plan for your life? Now, these assumptions are fairly large in the 21st century scholars' culture. Because if you went out into Princes Street or you went around Edinburgh, probably the overwhelming majority might certainly go with one, but certainly less sure about two and three. And that might be you this morning. You may have walked in and you say, "Well, actually, I'm not sure God does exist. I'm not sure God does care about his creation. I'm not sure, certainly, God had a plan for me." And if that is you, then do come and speak to me, speak to others. We love questions. We love to be able to talk and tell you more about that. But I suppose I want to start with that, and that's where we're going to go from. But before we think about how God guides, perhaps the most obvious question is, what is God wanting to guide us into? What's God's purpose for guidance? I remember having vigorous debates growing up in youth fellowship about how much does God guide us. You know, does he have a plan for our life? Does he have a partner that we might want to marry? Does he want us to choose Weetabix or Rice Krispies in the morning? Where does God's guidance come, and what part does it matter? But I suspect for a lot of people, they would say it's the S word. Once you become a Christian, God wants you to be successful. That's why God created us. He wants us to be successful in life. He wants us to be successfully financially. He wants us to be successful in our witnessing so that everybody we talk to becomes Christians. But actually, as you read the New Testament, you see that that is far from what the Bible teaches. What is God wanting us to guide us towards? Well, Peter says he wants us to be holy and live godly lives. Paul, writing to Titus, says to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. And Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, says we need to understand the will of God, and he encourages the church in Colossae to set your minds on things above, not on earthly God. God has a plan. He has a will which is pleasing and perfect. The psalmist says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. So as we look at guidance in this talk, I want to give some practical steps about how I think the Bible tells us we should be guided by our Father in heaven. In fact, you might call this title a handy guide to guidance, because there are 5 points to the sermon. Now, I want to point out at this point, and I only use this because I was preaching in the church several years ago. I did 4 weeks in a row standing up. And on the last Sunday, I was standing at the door, as you used to do, and was saying goodbye to a person. And a person came up to me and said, oh, you've only got one arm. This was a doctor, which was slightly more worrying. So I do not have 5 fingers, but most of you, I think, will have 5 fingers in your left hand, 5 fingers on your right hand. So use the 5 fingers to remember, hopefully, these points. And the first one is the command of Scripture. The first finger represents the reading of the Bible. Not only reading it, but understanding it and following it in our lives. The Bible makes lots of things clear for us. It tells us how we are meant to know God through Christ Jesus. God wants to guide us, to show us the way to go. The prophet Micah uses the words, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The word of God tells us how we should live our lives. Karl Barth, the great German theologian, said, the parts of the Bible that I find hardest are the ones that I already understand. What is hard is putting it into practice. And a lot of what God wants us to do day in, day out, is there in Scripture. Perhaps you're tempted to kind of not pay all your taxes, forget to take some of the money that you've earned and put it down. Well, the word of God tells us that that's wrong, because Jesus said, pay unto Caesar what is due to Caesar's. Perhaps you're getting friendly with somebody at work, you're married, you're getting some money, you think, well, maybe I could just have a relationship with them. Maybe I could have that adulterous relationship. Well, God is never going to guide us into that, because God tells us that relationships are between husband and wife. The will of God is displayed very clearly. Often, it's whether we are willing to listen to it and apply it. So the Bible reveals God's general will for us. But secondly, and the second part of the finger, is circumstantial signs. God is ultimately in control of the events in our life. Proverbs 16:9, in your heart you may plan your course, but the Lord determines your steps. And we see that outplayed throughout Scripture. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and Acts chapter 16, Paul says, I wanted to go there, I wanted to come with you, but God stopped me. And sometimes circumstances will guide your next move. Quite a number of years ago, I was, in fact, just leaving the church here when I was the associate minister, and I was looking for a new job. And I decided, for no great reason, to go for a walk in Inverleith Park. And it was a Saturday afternoon, I was walking in Inverleith Park, and I bumped into somebody I'd been at university with. And he said, how are you getting on? Do-do-do-do, the usual, do-do-do-do-do. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, actually, I'm looking for a new job. I'm about to leave, and I'm looking for something part-time. He said, that's amazing, because I just got a job for you. Can you come and see me on Monday, and you can start the next day? Now, why did I go to Inverleith Park for that walk? Well, I believe God used that circumstance to put me back in touch with that individual. You see, our God, I believe, is not a God of chance. He's a God of circumstances and coincidences. He makes things happen. He operates through them. And if you're looking for guidance, look for signs, conversations, meetings. But equally, always go back to the first finger. Does it fit into Scripture? Because the devil can also create coincidences. Remember, circumstantial signs need to be viewed, as we'll see it, with a whole hand, not just individually. So we use Scripture as our primary way. We can use circumstances. And then thirdly, we use the advice of fellow Christians, of fellow believers. Proverbs 12, verse 15 reminds us that the wise man listens to advice. It also advises us to make plans in seeking that advice. The saying goes that no man, no person is an island. And that is also true in the kingdom of God. God created the church for lots of different reasons. But one of the primary reasons was that so that we could walk together with other Christians, that we can learn together, both positively and negatively, that we can share things with others. For those who are older Christians, we can pass on that knowledge. For those of us who are younger, we can perhaps pass on that enthusiasm that some of us who have been Christians for a while might have lost. And can I suggest that if you are looking to make a big decision, go and talk to somebody you trust. Go and talk and ask them to pray with you on that journey. But don't choose a yes person. It's very easy when you already think you want to do something, or you think this is what God's calling you to go and find somebody who you know will always agree with you. On the other hand, don't go and find somebody that's always going to say no to you either. But find someone you can trust. Find someone who is wise and wisdom. You see, do that now. Don't do it when the big decision is just about to come. I hope that there is at least one person with Image Fellowship, if this is your church or your church back at home or wherever you worship, that you can go to on a regular basis and you can say, look, I'm struggling with this or I'm struggling with that. Will you help me and will you pray for me? But actually, remember also, the ultimate decision is always between you and God. So we go back to the first finger. Does it agree with Scripture? We can't simply hand these things over and say, well, actually, I don't know what to do. Can you make the decision for me? We're called to be accountable to God individually, but with the help and the support of other believers. So we have Scripture, we have circumstance, we have other Christians, and then on the forefinger is a touch of common sense. Well, see, so far we've talked about guidance, and for some of you might be a bit worried. You say, you're asking me to read the Bible, you're asking me to hope something pops through my letterbox, and you're hoping that a Christian is going to agree with me in regard to the choices that I've made. But the forefinger is actually a touch of common sense. When we become Christians, much to other the world's belief, we do not throw out our brains. We do not stop using the mind and the common sense that God has given us. We don't part them when we come to making our decisions as Christians. In fact, quite the opposite is true. John Wesley, who wrote lots of hymns that we used to sing in church, is the father of Methodism, very appropriate for this building. And he said that God usually guided him by presenting reasons to his mind for acting in a certain way. Indeed, the reason that Wesley started the thing called Methodism was while they were all studying at Oxford, the way they approached the Christian life was methodically, was thinking about it logically, about making decisions. Could you imagine considering marriage to a man or woman without using your common sense? You wouldn't simply just kind of go to somebody and say, I'm thinking of marrying X. Perhaps you'd want to think about, are we spiritually compatible? Are we personally compatible? Are we physically compatible? Are we meant to be? You wouldn't just do that by reading the Bible. You do it by thinking it through logically. John Stott, the famous author, wrote this. He says, God's promises of guidance were not given to save us the problem of thinking. Let me say that again. God's promises of guidance were not given to save us the problem of thinking. So now we have four of our fingers. The command of Scripture, circumstantial signs, the wisdom of Christian believers, and common sense. And now we come to the all-important one, the thumb. I was having an operation quite a number of years ago in hospital, and the person next to me was having an interesting operation. He was having his big toe taken off, and it was being moved onto his hand to become a thumb. And I was quite intrigued by this because it seemed to be quite a drastic piece of operation. But I understand, and you will be able to tell me better, but actually the thumb is the key of the five fingers. When you go home today, look out how often you use your thumb compared to a lot of your other fingers, whether that's writing, opening a tin, a glass of water, or whatever. And so the thumb is key. And the key to all that we are going to say today is that if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is inside you. And to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit as our guide is the fifth and final thing. You see, guidance often is very personal. When we become Christians, the Spirit of God comes and lives in us, indwells us. And when he does, he starts to communicate with us. We see examples both in the Old and in the New Testament of the Spirit guiding us. We find Paul and his companions, for example, planning to enter the city in the book of Acts, but the Spirit of Jesus, it says, would not allow them to do it. Samuel, in the Old Testament, actually heard the Spirit of God talking to him. And the Holy Spirit today can speak to us in different ways. It may be through a talk. It may be through a conversation. It may be through a dream or a vision or a word that someone has for us. But actually, I think perhaps the main way is through prayer. But prayer often is one way. We go, we sit down, and we tell God everything, and then we rush away. Can you imagine if you wake up tomorrow morning not feeling very well, and you are very fortunate, you get up 8 o'clock and you happen to get a GP appointment, and you go along to your GP, and you say to your GP, look, I've got a really sore head, I've got a really sore tummy, my nose is blocked, I've got all of these things, and you simply walk out of a GP surgery. And then you see a friend later and you say, oh, how do you get on with your doctor? He says, well, he's very good at listening, but he never tells me anything. And I wonder, sometimes, are we a bit like that in our relationship with God? We're very good at telling him, but we're not so good at listening to when he tells us things to do. You see, I think the Spirit of God speaks to us in prayer. He can shape our thoughts. He can speak through visions and dreams. And there's numerous examples, both in Scripture, in church history, and even today, of God doing that. Let me tell you something amazing. If you remember nothing else this morning, remember this. The King of Kings wants to talk to you. Jesus, who created the world, who created the stars, the universe, who hung on a cross, who died and rose and will come again, is so interested in you that he wants to talk to you. But perhaps you're sitting there, as I have sat in sermons like this, and saying, but God doesn't really seem to want to lead me. I can see how he's led people in the Bible, and that's great. I can see how he's led members of my family, and that's wonderful. I can even see how he's led my friends and neighbours. But it doesn't seem to happen for me. And you're finding it difficult to accept that God wants to guide your life. You seem to be listening, but actually you don't hear God speaking. Perhaps that's because of a number of reasons. Firstly, we are in a relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. But perhaps there's unrepentant sin blocking that relationship. We all know that our human relationships go wrong when things build up and we don't deal with them. In John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, First John 1, 9 says, tells us, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness and will be able to heal him again. Perhaps you need to confess your sin. Perhaps you need to ask for that blockage between you and Jesus to be broken by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we are an impatient people. You know, society today tells us we don't have to wait for anything. On the 7th of May this year, something new happened to me. I was made redundant. Thank you for not voting for me. But no, I was made redundant. And so I didn't have a job. So I hoped by the 9th of May, I gave myself a whole weekend, that I would have something lined up and have a new job. Because after all, you know, things happen quickly. And that can be true when we're looking for God to guide us. We expect it just to happen immediately. But God doesn't guide us for the whole of our lives and the whole of our time. C.S. Lewis wrote this: a glimpse of the next 3 feet of road is more important and more useful than the view of a horizon. And I wonder, particularly those of, I'm going to say us, but perhaps you who are younger, want everything worked out. You want to know what's going to happen in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s. And actually, God often doesn't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow because he knows us. He knows that what we need is for today, and he will give us what we need for today. And so, as with the hand, the thumb is the key in doing anything. Being in communion with Jesus through the Spirit is the key. Why? Because the Holy Spirit inspired the text of Scripture. The Holy Spirit who came will make certain verses stand out for us as we read them. It is the Holy Spirit who creates those circumstances that we couldn't have envisaged. It is the Holy Spirit that draws us to Christians to give us the advice. It is the Holy Spirit who seeks to influence our minds as we seek to come to a decision sensibly. But always remember, but whatever decision you're going to make, whatever you believe you're hearing from God, it always goes back to the first finger. It will never go against what the Bible says. And that actually takes us full circle. Because when we come to saying, what does God want us to do? We shouldn't be looking at our hand, our fingers, but ultimately we should be looking to Jesus. We should fix our eyes upon him. What is God wanting to guide us towards? It's to knowing Jesus, to loving him more, and to serving those that we come across day in, day out. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you are not a distant God. We thank you that you are interested in what you have created and made. And you have made us in your image. Lord, thank you that you know us. The psalmist tells us you know us better than we know ourselves. You knew us before we were even born. And we thank you that you are a good God. And even when we sometimes struggle with that thought or that concept, help us to remember that you love us and you care for us. And Father, thank you that you want us to know you more. We think that you told us the greatest commandment was to love you with everything that we have. And I pray that you would guide us into that love. You tell us the second commandment is to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I pray that you would guide us this day, this week, to find out who our neighbor is and to love them. And Father, I pray specifically for those who have decisions that they have to make, where there is uncertainty, for those in regard to relationships, in regard to work, in regard to medical treatment, in regard to family. Lord, as we have already prayed in the Lord's Prayer, we ask that your will be done here on earth in our lives as it is in heaven. And I pray for clarity. And we pray that not only for us individually, but we pray that for this local congregation here, that as they gather for a church meeting next month, we believe that you are there to guide and you are there to lead. And I pray that you would guide and lead this congregation, that you would lead and guide your church here in the city and across our nation, that we would be such good news that people would come to know you and to love you more. We again ask that you would forgive us our sins and that you would go with us into this week, knowing that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, knows us, loves us, cares for us, and will never leave us. And we ask this in our precious Saviour's name. Amen.